You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
The 14th of April will be our picking up of Acts. And today we'll be in Genesis 1 and also in 1 John 1 and in John 1. And so when it comes to Easter and Christmas, I like to spend extra time in prayer and preparation before we dive in. Part of it's because it's a very familiar message. When you come to Christmas time, you're talking about the birth of Christ and Christ's first advent. When you're dealing with Easter, you're dealing with Christ's death and resurrection. And while these are familiar topics for people who belong to Jesus, I don't want them to become where we go on autopilot. There was a guy I used to know who would just take out the sermons, the messages that he had done on previous Christmas and Easters, and he would just do the same one over and over and over again. Now, this is my 24th year at Hillside, and if I was doing that, guess what? Sean and Patty have been here the whole time. John Piet's been here the whole time. John and Jackie Schlar have been here the whole time. They would be tired of hearing Louis say the same message over and over again. And I think the key is not to try to be novel or interesting or try to dig stuff out that, you know, just to try to do something new, but really to lean upon the truth that Jesus says his words and his mercies are new every morning. And he wants to bring life to things that we know to be true and to make them so that they're real and resonating inside of us. Does that make sense? So you may have something that is very familiar to you, but may it also be something that's fresh and dear and new in your heart as well. So I was listening to music. There's a study on brain plasticity. That means keeping your brain flexible so it's able to continue to learn new things. And one of the things that they have said, they being those people, you know them I'm talking about, they have said is if you want to keep your brain flexible and want to be able to continue to grow and battle that increasing calcification of our learning processes and our thinking processes that can begin to rob us of our ability to remember, etc. One of the things you can do is listen to music you listen to in junior high and high school. Yes, this is a free one. Some of you are already doing this on a regular basis. Other people are like, I get to go back to House of Pain? Wonderful! For some of you, if that was a negative experience and it was associated with other stuff. I can remember listening to some music on a mission trip in Mexico, and the guy that we were with had just come out of a 12-step program and had gotten delivered from meth. And he said to me, he was from Tennessee, and he said, Louis, I cannot listen to that music without thinking of shooting up or smoking something. So we need to put that away. And so I did not want to, I'm not trying to mock him, but he's like, I know better. This is how I got into my, this is how I got into my jam. I put the music on and it would lead me somewhere. So if you have that, anybody have those kind of things that trigger you? Maybe it's like, you know, in high school, you know, the basketball team at Carson High School, my brother was going there. They would always turn on Smells Like Teen Spirit and run around like crazy. And look at how tough they are. It was kind of one of those things where you get music to get amped up, music to study. I've got music I study by. Anybody else have music you study by? Yeah, it's almost like engage the mechanism. Here we go. Yes, I did just quote For Love of the Game, but I digress. But there's this idea of music can lead us towards having a flexible brain. We want to continue to learn as we grow older. And if you don't do anything else, be open to learning new things and to continue to pursue reading and doing things that keep your brain flexible. Keep using that. Christianity is not a relationship with or a religion that just requires you take things on faith and don't explore. Jesus invites you to a lifelong journey of exploring him. Do that. All that to say, I put on the old Jesus Freak album and was listening to DC Talk and going through from front to back the Jesus Freak album. And while I come across this one particular song, In the Light, I hear the Holy Spirit say, that's the theme for Easter. And I'm thinking, that's wonderful. I love it. What are we going to do with it? And I feel like as I've been studying, I've been given a string to begin to pull. And the string as I'm pulling it is kind of heading in all sorts of directions. If you're an Office fan, any Office fans here, from like Jim and Dwight and all those guys, okay, all six of us that raised our hands, we're going to really love this, where there's a episode where Jim gets a cord and plugs it into the back of Dwight's computer and runs it out and all through the building and outside and through the bathroom and into the parking lot, actually up a telephone pole. And Dwight spends the episode chasing down this cord. And we see Jim talking in front of a window, and he's got this, you know, big old smile on his face. The next thing you see is in the rear view or behind him in the window, you see Dwight shimmying up the telephone pole trying to see where does this cord go. That's what I feel like I'm doing as I'm studying this. And it doesn't mean, oh, this is going to be pointless. We should quit now. This is more of a, I don't exactly know where this is going, but I'm enjoying the exploration. And I'm praying that you do too. And I'm praying that there's a prayer that Paul prays over the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that there would be an awakening that takes place in your soul so that your spirit and the eyes of your soul can see what God is doing and revealing in your life, that you can know the depth and breadth of the love of Jesus that he has for you. And there's a picture of light and a metaphor of light in the face of darkness that I want to emphasize as we go through this series on being in the light. Over and over again in Scripture, we see light and darkness contrasted with each other. Not in like a 50-50 yin and yang type of a thing, but in a light equals life and vision and clarity and purity and holiness and transparency and God. And darkness is deceit and death and confusion and blindness and sin and decay and brokenness. And we hear about, you know, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one in whom he's the Father of lights in whom there's no change or shadow of turning. And then we have the Prince of Darkness. You see, there's this contrast between what can be seen and what can't be seen. And the thing is, darkness is the standard starting point for all humanity because of sin. But we don't know we are in darkness because we're in darkness, and it's been how things are. When babies are born, they have been in their mother's wombs for 40 plus weeks. My daughter, who is studying to be a midwife, she is a student midwife right now. She has 19 births left to get to become an apprentice midwife, which is awesome. I've learned more about birth. I caught her. Joni delivered her. I was there. I caught the baby. There was no one else in the room. We still had to pay the doctor. It was wonderful, but I knew everything I needed to know at that moment as I caught Elise. But since she's been working as this student midwife, I've learned even so much more. And even how babies can respond to light in the womb. And when you shine a light on the this place, that the babies can respond. And it's an amazing concept, because when the babies are born, they have their eyes closed and they kind of open them up. And the idea of actually seeing the light that they've only seen filtered through their mother's womb is complete. You know, I don't mean to mess with my granddaughter. My newest granddaughter is Eloise. She, according to Scripture, Jesus said, out of babes I have ordained praise. I don't know if you heard her this morning, but we were singing and she was too. That's a beautiful sound. But if there's times where I take Eloise on field trips. She leaves her class in the back of the preschool and we go outside, and I think this is going to be great. And we get outside and she has a response that, and in some ways it really warms my heart, because she's like, oh, the orb, it's too bright, you know, and she's, block it, no. And so we'll go to the darkest spot, and I'll put like a jacket or something over her so she can see, and we'll kind of gradually let the light in. Because when you've been in darkness for such a long period of time and your eyes aren't used to it, your eyes can't get it, and it even seems like you're being blinded. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, close your eyes for a long time and then stare at the sun. But don't really do that, but you'd get the idea. With that, there's something of when we've been walking and living in darkness and our eyes will adjust to it. We're created to adjust to darkness to the point where we can, our pupils will become the size of I was going to say silver dollars, but we don't even know what those are anymore. Those are really large coins that used to represent a dollar, unless you got the Sacagawea coin, which was a gold one. And that one, anyway, separate discussion. But they'd get super big, and they would allow any ambient light to be sucked into your eyeballs so that you could actually begin to see. And if any sort of light, like brightness, came in, it was just crushing to your pupils could adjust. You've experienced this before. When we come in contact with Jesus, who is called light, when he shines his light into our lives, now, this is an experience that's been immortalized in songs like I Saw the Light or many, many others, where all of a sudden it's like the way we were living was brought to our attention in a way that we had no clue beforehand. And that is not because there's a condemnation, but it's because all of a sudden there is a light that's happening and we get to see what our path is. There is a video game. One of the first video games I ever binged was a Zelda game, and it was The Legend of Link. Anybody ever play that one? So there's a couple of levels in that where you go into this cave, and you don't know you're in the dark because you can kind of see, but because you're in the dark, you keep getting zapped and eaten by all the creatures that are in the thing until you get through the level, and you come away with a sword that will punch down and kill things, and then also a light, and then you go back through with the light, and you can think, I can't believe I navigated through that cave because of all the junk that was there. How did I do that? When we come to Christ and the light of Christ comes into our life, immediately we can have a similar experience where we start looking at our life and think, how did I navigate through all that mess without the light shining and illuminating to me? I-L-L-U-M-I-N-A-T-I-N-G, not the E-L-I-M, okay? That one, illuminating my path. And what I'm hoping that you see in this is there is a consistent invitation that comes from Jesus to be with him and walk in the light as he is in the light. Not to walk in the light so it's just enough so you can see by, which is kind of a form of righteousness, a form of godliness that denies the power of Jesus, but walk in the light as he is in the light. To be a person who is a Christian, as he shares this to us, is not just a person who believes the right things, but a person who puts into practice his teachings. Our next series after Acts will be talking about practicing the way of Jesus, learning the way of discipleship, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus does. This is a little commercial. 70% of people in the United States would identify as Christian. 7 out of 10. Even in Reno, Portland, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, all these places, and yet less than 5%, by defining their behaviors, would identify as a disciple of Christ, people who are practitioners of their faith. They go to McDonald's, but they don't eat the burgers. They're there. They know all about them. They know who makes them. They prefer In-N-Out, but they don't do it. We can know everything there is to know religiously, as the devil does, and never act on it. And we've made it okay for people to live as Christians, but not as disciples. And not as a point of condemnation, but as a point of invitation. Let us walk in the light so that we will not be content with just knowing about, but we will be satisfied with Jesus himself as we walk with. Okay? So, Genesis chapter 1. You may wonder where Genesis is. It's the beginning. So we open up and you get past the first couple of pages where it lists where all the books are and the page numbers. We get to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I didn't tell you this, but as we're reading, I want you to hear the words darkness and hear the word light and hear how they're used. I'll start over. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called light. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before he created the heavens and the earth, it says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, but there was also darkness. As such, there was nothing to see. There was nothing formed. There was just a void. And the first declarative statement he did was, let there be light. Let there be clarity. Let it be seen what there is. And he says, the first thing God calls good is light. He says, this light that brings this illumination to us, this is good. He separated the light from the dark. He called the light day and the dark night. It's not till the fourth day that he creates the sun and the moon and the heavenly bodies. So how he kept track of days is up to him. But it was just, you have light and daytime, you have dark and you have night. In 1 John, which we're going to be digging into in a little bit, it says, 1 John, it says, God himself is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. And so the very first thing he does is he says, let there be light. And he separates the darkness from the light, and he says, the light is good. Later on, we hear it described that God himself is light. God himself brings illumination. God himself brings truth, brings wholeness, brings healing, brings transformation. Darkness does the opposite of that. So let's dig into 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is our main text for all of this particular series. Let's go ahead and put that up there. 1 John chapter 1. There is in my Bible. Oh, goodness. Well, you're going to have to trust me because it's in my Bible. I'll read it to you. 1 John. See, it's there. Good. Don't worry, guys. I got it. I can just tell you, Louis, the guy who put it in the notes, I'm going to have a word with that guy. Louis. So, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Then we see God created by speaking, let there be light. He separates light from darkness. There's a spot in Psalm chapter 104 that actually says, God, you yourself are clothed with splendor and majesty. You have clothed yourself with light like a garment. So light is intricately woven in and attached to God. Now let's go to John chapter 1, written by the beloved disciple. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? We just read Genesis chapter 1 where it says, in the beginning God created. And here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's interesting, we see at the beginning of Genesis, he says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. He spoke, let there be light. Here in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. A little while ago in our Acts series, I shared this was such a significant insight because one of the prominent belief systems at the time that John was written was the Stoic belief system. And the Stoics had a belief that was rooted firmly in an idea such as logos. And the Greek word for word is logos. It said, the logos is what holds all the world together. The logos is the center of all life and creation in the universe. Everything is wrapped up in that. So John, the beloved, as he's writing and he says, in the beginning was the logos, in the beginning was the word, he's saying that these Stoic philosophers, who it's very easy to poke fun at other people's philosophies and say, oh, these people are so off. John doesn't say you're so off, he just re-identifies. He says, you guys are believing in the logos, let me tell you who the logos is. They didn't know. They just thought the logos is the thing that holds the world together. And he says, here, hold my coffee. Let me explain this to you. It is, you can know who the Word is because it is Jesus. And he was with God in the beginning. He was there for creation. He was there to bring life. And this life that he brought, just as he brought light with creation, he brings light in the middle of the darkness. And no matter how dark the darkness is, because there is a darkness that can be felt, that darkness cannot overcome it. This is this confrontation. And please, our culture tries to turn the battle between good and evil, the battle between Jesus and the darkness into like this 50-50, you know, almost like a Zoroastrian thing where you've got, you know, 50% is good and 50% is evil. How are they going to win? No, we have God the Creator in whom has the power of life even in speaking, who has authority and dominion over all power, over all principalities and powers, rulers of this dark world. And we have a created being who wants to raise himself up to receive worship. And because he can't get it, he looks to strike against every image bearer on the planet, which is you and me, and every person who's been made in the image of God. We live in an era where people who've been made in the image of God are being told lies and are repeating over and over again, you've not been made right, you're in the wrong body. You're not functioning, you're not living the way you're supposed to. You have to physically change yourself in order to be truly acceptable. And this can go from the sex reassignment surgeries to the point where people are even doing things where maybe they're not being reassigned, but they're so maiming themselves, you look at them and say, what happened to them? You've seen the people who've spent so much time going through surgery after surgery after surgery to try to keep up. And, you know, one of my mentors, Louis, calm down. One of my mentors said, we live our entire life trying to get to a certain age. And then we spend the rest of our life trying to stay that age. And we don't know how to grow old and embrace who God made us to be in our 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. We look in our, you know, we start to show signs of having been on the planet. You know, in a guitar, it's valued. People pay money to distress electric guitars because they then have character. Some of us are just distressed models. And immediately people go and they think they start maiming themselves to look more something. And if they go all to the same surgeon and get the same procedures, they don't recognize if they look at other people who haven't done it. It's like, what's going on? I don't want to belabor it because I don't want to make fun of it because it's in some way it's a complete lack of contentedness with who you've been made to be. It's that scripture we come across where Jesus says, I will awake and I will look in the mirror and I'll be satisfied with your likeness. To be content where we are. To know we're created to live for a certain period of time, and then our bodies degenerate and our physical bodies die, and we go to be with Christ. That there is relief in that. One of the great curses on humanity in Revelation is there's going to be incredible suffering to the point where people will long for death, and it will not be allowed for them to die. I believe people who belong to Jesus will be gone at that point in heaven. It doesn't mean we're going to miss out on the suffering. It just means we're going to miss out on the punishment. But one of the punishments is people will long for death and it will elude them. This is not and so we're going to die someday. So grab some coffee on the way out. God bless you. Glad for being here. But there's an aspect of being content with what God has created you to be and learning to embrace who you are right now and what you're turning into. To be the best version of yourself at the age you are to reflect him. I don't want my kids or my grandkids to look at me and to see me trying to go back to a time that I'll never get to no matter how hard I try. I want them to see me comfortable in my earth suit, living well. I still trim my ear hair. Okay? It doesn't mean you don't do stuff like that. It simply means I can, I mean, come on now. You think Joni's going to let me go outside like that? No. That's why we have the really bright lights in the bathroom. There's times where I will have left the bathroom, and I didn't turn the light on, but I don't need to see much. And she'll be like, come here. Come here. And I'll draw close, and she'll say, oh, Louie. And she doesn't really do this anymore, but there used to be a time where it'd be like, you know, you get the spit, and it's like, I graduated from spit. I get a rag with water now. That's what moms do. It's like, no. It's like, she'd rub this, rub it on your shirt, and it's like, okay, look at me. Anyway, welcome, welcome. In the middle of all this, the Word, Jesus, holds all things together. And John compares it to light that is at war with darkness, and light will overcome it. Do you know one thing that it will never be in heaven? Nighttime, dark. There is no darkness. Well, then what do we do in heaven? We worship, we celebrate, we eat really good food. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 25 goes into great detail about the incredibly aged wine and the best meat you've ever had. There's fruit that blooms every single month that contains the tree of life. There's the leaves of those trees that have the healing of the nations, and it's positive. It's a positive experience. There's joy. There's relationship. There's connectedness. But there's no darkness. There's nothing dark. I like that. And I wear black every day. In the middle of all this, there is something Jesus is wanting to remind us or teach us about the light that he brings into our life. May we be people who are continually open to the light that brings life over and over, more and more in increasing areas of our life. That simply because we've seen a bit of light, don't let that be enough to suffice for the rest of your life. Continuing to push forward that you can embrace the light that Jesus brings day to day. He invites us to walk in the light. And as we explore this, what does it mean to walk in the light? My prayer is that we will understand walking in the light as a way of communion or relationship with Jesus that is rooted in him revealing himself to us in increasing measure day by day. That we would be so accustomed to the light that when we see darkness, we see deceit, we see these things that show up to distract and to pull our eyes off of him, that we would identify it for what it is. Instead of as an interesting distraction, we would see it as the decay and death and something to be avoided at all costs. That God would continue to rewire and reorient us. That we'd be able to see and identify obstacles. I joke about it all the time. I also tell the truth about this. I sleep with a nightlight. Why? I don't like to get up in the middle of the night and walk around. Like if you have to go get a drink or have to use the restroom. As a younger man, when I had kids in my house, it was for self-preservation that I had a nightlight. Because there's a maze you have to walk through. But even then, I have little markers, little lights that shine. They're not bright. They're not like 100 watts with, you know, we've got the LEDs in there. As soon as it's like a lighthouse going off. But it's enough that if I get out of my bed, I can walk and I'm not going to bump into stuff and I'm not going to lose my shins or I'm not going to crush my toes. Why? Because I like my body. I don't like pain. And I don't want to wake my wife up again. You know, that time when you're walking through. And I can see most of it. There's no night lights by the bed. They're all the other way. And once I've walked, even in the dark, you see these little lights. And the lights, you get used to it. And then you turn around, and it's like you see nothing. And you're walking by feel and by faith. And that's where you claim, I walk by faith, not by sight. I walk by faith, not by sight. But I'm walking, and I've got my hands out so I can feel the bed, which has got, there's like this wooden frame of the bed. And I want to feel it with my hand so I can catch it, and then I can walk myself around. More than once, Louis has been overconfident in walking in his room. And walking up, I've got my hand, but it's too high. And so I just walk, and all of a sudden, I'm full on, boom, right into the bed frame. Joni bolts up, what's going on? It's like, nothing. Nothing. Like, what did you do? It's like, nothing. It's like, but you woke me up. It's like, go back to bed. Try convincing your wife nothing's happened when you just ran into the bed at full speed. Boom. But there's a walking. There's a familiarity. But even then, there's times where I'll bust out my phone and I'll just have the light shining so I can see. Because the light allows us to avoid the traps. It allows us to avoid the things we didn't see. We don't lay out before we go to bed, how can I hurt myself tonight? Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put these, you know those plastic bags that they give you at the grocery store? Do you know you can catch your feet in them and trip? Louis done that at night. You know, I have a backpack that I keep next to my desk. It's up against the wall. I've tripped on that in the nighttime. I've run into my desk chair. I've run into my desk. I've knocked over a lamp. I kicked over a bunch of glasses that Louis was supposed to take downstairs that were out of the way because Joni says, we don't put stuff in the walkway. It's like, no, we don't. And Louis tripped over him, knocked him over. But you have the light to see it. I belabor this in silliness to remind us that we can get so confident walking that we know where we're going, that we can forget that there is pitfalls and areas that we can be tripped up even though we know what's there. And we need the light that dispels darkness to show us the way to go. Because we will never be in a spot where we can just say, I got this. We desperately need Jesus. We need him every day to walk comfortably, to walk in care through the pitfalls and destruction so that even when everything else is coming down and we're experiencing that, we can still know Jesus and the peace that he brings in the middle of the storms. What do we do with this? I want you to think about a time when you've had a darkness to light revelation. Maybe it's when you started your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it was one of the first times you experienced a point of conviction when you realized something was wrong, that your life as Jesus was calling you to live, it was no longer compatible with the behavior that you'd been engaging in. Maybe it was something that you were listening to or something that you were reading or something you were regularly spending time doing. And all of a sudden, it's like, I feel bad doing this. And I don't just feel bad, it feels wrong. It feels so wrong, I need to stop. Think about that. What brought you to that point? Was it out of the blue? Were you seeking? Were you hoping to be instructed? What brought you to that? One of the prayers that King David prayed, we have used on a regular basis as a elimination prayer, Psalm 139. Search me, Father, and know my heart. Try me and know my mind. If there be any wicked way in me, pull me to the rock everlasting. It's inviting the Holy Spirit to come in and to shine brightly with a light. You can think, oh, we don't need to do that as long as we're gonna taking good care of ourselves. Anybody go to the dentist? Why do you go to the dentist? You go to the dentist because you want them to tell you need to floss and brush your teeth. Right? But they also are checking for cavities. They're checking for stuff you didn't know you had, or maybe you did and you were just hoping it would go away. We go and we get explored. So we go to the doctor when something is off, and we go to hear, what is it that you see, doc? How much more do we invite the Holy Spirit to come in and examine our hearts and minds, knowing that the Word of God can divide even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, even the thoughts and intents of our heart to show us what's true and what's right and what's good and true and noble. That's where he wants us to live. Because once we are walking in the light, we then have the obligation and the responsibility and the privilege of inviting others to walk with. As we say, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's bow our heads. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you apply these things to us. I pray that you would lead and guide us. I pray that we would be humble to receive we would be humble to seek you. Lord, I would ask that your light would be the light of our life. I pray that as darkness is exposed, we would reject it and lay it down. May we not cling to it. May we not hide in it. May we not give place to it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We give you glory, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word that is true, that says if we walk in the light like you walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and that you forgive us of our sin. And that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive and to purify us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise for every single person in this room, that if you walk with Jesus and you ask him to forgive you and you turn from your sin, he, because of his faithfulness and his justice, you are forgiven. Lord, may we walk clean and true and pure and holy in forgiveness of sin and in your life and in your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here today and you want to start a relationship with Jesus, you can see Kelsey. Would you wave at me, Kelsey, over there? Kelsey's in the Connect and Grow area. She has Yes packets she would love to hook you up with as you're on your way out, kind of tell you a little bit more about what does it mean to begin to follow after Jesus and put into practice his teachings. Also, in the back where Chris is, we have him available to be praying for you today. If anything's come up, you'd like to have him do that. But let me speak these blessings over you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may Jesus bless you and keep you. May Jesus make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Jesus turn his face toward you and give you peace. God bless you. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen? Right. Have a great day.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.